Do this bad boy.
We can cut this part out. Hold on here.
No, let's not cut this part out. This is how we start hot and heavy. This is the behind the scenes. Aaron Rhodes is joining us today as our guest on TDIT. Happy Wednesday.
I think we said it wrong. Let's run it back.
I said Aaron Rhodes. Let's do it again.
No,
it's Aaron Rhodes.
Hodes. You spelled it wrong. You spelled it wrong, right. Dude.
I did?
Yes. Change it.
What?
H-O-D-E-S? No.
Yeah. This is it. That's Hodes.
But that's you're how telling me how to pronounce my own last name?
Hey, I'm just going off how it's spelled. That's it.
Hodes. H-O-D. You know, you can call me whatever you want.
Welcome back to another episode of TDIT. Happy Wednesday morning. We are introducing a new guest with us today, Aaron Hodes. It is spelled Hodes, but we've been told by insiders that it is pronounced Hodes. Thank you for joining us today, Aaron. Troy, how did we find this guy? Where did we pick this guy up?
Yeah, off the streets, dude. He just kept he kept coming to my front door. I was like, dude, please. No,
Aaron found out how the sausage was made with TDIT. It's a funny morning here behind the scenes.
It's juicy.
It is juicy. So everyone, it is January 23rd, 2026. It's negative 18 in Madison, Wisconsin, and it feels like it's like negative 40. Daycare canceled. I don't have my mic. I don't have the right headphones. Everything's a mess over here, but we're making it work.
We're gonna make it work.
So kind of to your point or to your question, Daniel, Aaron Hodes, LinkedIn connection, longtime LinkedIn connection. Thanks Hodes. For reaching out and supporting the
Hodes. Don't mispronounce Hodes. It. Hodes.
No, it's Hodes. Okay. Actually, for me, it's Hodes.
You know what? Call it Hodes. I'm going to actually officially change it to Hodes, and I'll just tell my dad, and it'll all be good. So
we'll just call him Joe Smith. This is the Joe Smith episode of TDIT.
After the recording stops, I'll tell you what my friends call me because it's not podcast appropriate. So
I feel like that's it's right, Hodes. Right. We just add a C.
I know
maybe.
What PG-13 word is coming from. All right, we're good. We're good.
Exactly.
All right, Troy, take us away. Introduce our guest, Aaron Hodes to you, Aaron Hodes to us. But apparently it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So to everyone listening, it's Aaron Hodes. He's a dad of two, married, known his wife for 14 years. He's in e-commerce and logistics. He's listened to every episode. You reached out to me about the Vulnerable podcast, which thank you so much. I realized that when you reached out again, I forgot to respond. That's on me. I promise. It was not on purpose. But then you said, Troy, I've listened to every episode and I feel like my story is relatable to your audience. We want to hear that. So I'm going to just open the floor. One, introduce yourself if I miss anything. And two, tell us the story.
For sure. Thank you guys for having me on. Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting to listen to guys who are, you know, around my age in sales, had built their own businesses. And it was just very relatable to me. But yeah, a little bit about my background. Born and raised in Chicago. Live up in the Chicago suburbs with my wife. I have two young kids, a three-year-old son and an eight-month-old daughter.
Ooh,
me nice. And my wife met at Indiana University. Go Hoosiers. We are national champions.
Yes,
we are national
are.
Champions. No, met our sophomore year at Indiana University and are, you know, college sweethearts. We're supposed to get married in 2020. That didn't happen. I had a punt for a year. Got married in 2021.
Why didn't that happen? What happened in 2020?
No. There's just this little, I don't know, this little thing that happened in the world. So we effectively had to plan two weddings, which was fun.
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
I like morbid humor. So it had fun with me. You know, me and my wife had built just like a really, you know, a tight knit, you know, family, great family support system. And I think one of the most interesting things about becoming a dad has, I don't think the thing that people really talk about is like kind of like your change in identity or loss of independence, I would say. It was more so for my wife, like with our first kid, right? And there's just so much that my wife does for our family. And she's just like the absolute rock and carries our family in so many ways. And when we had my son at the end of 2022 and into, you know, the early parts of 2023, I think she felt like she was losing her independence. And I didn't necessarily feel like that because she's a teacher and she's a mom. So she's taking the emotional labor of the house in addition to working a full-time job. She teaches biology and chemistry. So it's
we just had an episode of former teacher where really teachers are more than a full-time job. And so are being parents. So I feel like she's juggling like three jobs if you add it all up. Crazy.
Dude, teachers don't get enough appreciation in this country. I mean, she probably works like 80-hour weeks. No joke.
It's a startup.
It comes
so
crazy. Yeah. Yeah.
No, she really carries the weight of the whole world on her back. I mean, my wife is a former teacher. She was a teacher for 6 years and it really never ends. You take it home on the weekends, you're grading papers, you're playing lessons. It never stops.
The most annoying thing I love when people are like, oh, well, teachers get their summers off. And I'm like, dude, tell me you know less about education.
tell me you've never been a teacher.
Yeah, exactly. No, and then, you know, I, going back to like kind of like the, independence piece, I didn't honestly really feel that until we had our daughter. The change from 1 to 2, personally for me, was very difficult.
Yeah, everyone says, you know, you go from like zone defense to man to man. And it's like, it's so true.
It's so true. And I would be remiss to say, like, it takes a village to raise children. And me and my wife are so, so, so fortunate to have my folks, her mom, aunts and uncles, like they have really all pitched in. And it's like, it has allowed me to have like an appreciation and a deeper relationship with like my loved ones than I ever thought I would, because it's like when a kid gets sick, I have to go in the office. Like my mom, you know, my parents just retired like last year. And like my mom is willing to come and, you know, and I didn't really, everything was so pre-scheduled. Like everything had to be like pre-scheduled now with like kids, and everything was very like always like we had to fit everything into like a perfect time block. And it was just, there was just like this loss of we're scheduling our lives around our kids now, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But I think it's been difficult for me to come to terms with.
Yeah.
Is it still? How did you build that support system? I mean, I agree. It takes a village, but it's easier said than done. I mean, how'd you build the village?
Yeah, that's a good question. How did I build it? I don't think it was intentional. I think I just have two loving parents and loving in-laws. Mm-hmm. They love us and they love our kids and they want to make sure that, you know, everything is good and they're willing to pitch in. And so I try not to forget, like, kind of like the theme of the last year is like just reflecting and being thankful for what I have. And I'm really fortunate. Like I, you know, a lot of people don't have what, you know, I have. And I'm constantly reminding myself that in like moments of like reflection in the shower. Like I built a home gym last year. So Troy, I know you're an early morning guy. I'm a weirdo 4:30 guy too, man. It's my piece.
Dude, it is. It's my piece, man. So it keeps me grounded. Leg day today, man. Baby.
I'm a runner. Daniel, it's I got my,
love that.
I'm a big Brooks guy. Yeah. Hey,
there you go.
I've run through Brooks. Oh, you did?
I'm like, that's all I wear. You need to give me some free shoes. They haven't yet. In fact, it's funny. I talked to Brooks about a beta program where they give free shoes to testers and influencers to try.
And they turn it down.
They don't make 15s in the beta program. So my feet are too big. It's hilarious. Yeah.
They just don't.
They don't let people with big feet test them.
Come on. You have a size 15 shoe?
Yes. Since Daniel's I was 15 years old.
Way bigger than you think.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? I'm like 6'4", 6'5".
Whoa.
Holy right?
Moly.
You would not. Yeah. I would have thought 5'4". Yep.
205 to 215, depending on how much I run that week. Yeah. I'm a big man.
Damn, dude.
My feet are 5'11".
I'm like a 10 and a half, 11. A 15. Yeah. Come.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but
shout out Brooks.
Yeah, shout out Brooks. I love my glycerins, Brooks. If you're listening, I'll take a new pair of glycerins. Anywho, and like right now is like a perfect moment. It's it's frozen tundra outside. I have trying to make it through flu season. I literally have two sick kids at home. My wife is also not feeling well, and so it's just trying to like make it through like the daily life. And I joke that like sometimes it feels like Groundhog's Day, and you're like you just do the same stuff over and over and over again. And the reason why like I reached out in the beginning is just because like that vulnerability podcast and just the podcast in general are just like so relatable to me as a dad. I have a really close knit of guy friends, you know, 5 or 6, but really only one of them has kids. And so he's been like my best friend since I was, you know, sixth grade, you know, 20 plus year friendships, but they don't have they just don't have kids. And so they can be sympathetic. I don't think they can necessarily be empathetic.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It does.
And so trying to find a community of dads, it gets, or you have like dads and then you have dads who are like in sales or like entrepreneurs. It's like the circle gets much smaller. And so like whenever I'm listening, I'm just like, oh yeah, that's right. Whenever I'm listening to you guys, I'm like, oh yeah, that's me. That's me. That's me. And like, so it's
it's great to know there's people out there that resonate with us, because sometimes we literally are flying by the seat of our pants and we're like, who are we? Who's our core audience? Who cares? But then, you know, every episode we get messages like, hey, this really hit the right spot. So it's like, okay, there's someone out there resonates with it.
Yeah. I think you mentioned when you reached out to me, you're like, hey, in 2026, I'd love to be a part. And I think in 2025, we look back at our messages and every single screenshot Daniel sends me and every single screenshot I send him of somebody being like, oh, I love the podcast. It's never, ever about the tech side. Oh, like thanks for talking about dealing Rippling. It's always about like, dude, I was up at 2 a.m. last night with my daughter, and this really resonated. And so that's when we're like, you know what, we're going to double down on that. I got a question for you. So you mentioned, number one, you didn't feel that way. Your wife kind of took that emotional burden. But number two, you did. I was the exact opposite, flip-flop. Number one, I was like, what on earth just happened? And then number two, Harrison, he was a lot easier, and I think I kind of knew what was going on. Why do you think that is? Is it just having two? Is it, was she harder? Like, tell us more about that.
No, I'm really fortunate that I have like two great, they're just cute kids. They're so great. I think it was the moment after my daughter was born, like the day after she was born, I like threw my lower back out, and I was in like so much pain.
You and I are like the same so far. Yeah, you're just talking about never my life.
Yeah, dude, I've never thrown my back out before. And like, I exercise a ton. Like I like to do like mobility work. And like, I had never been like so incapacitated and like basically like bedridden for like a week. And like in the moments where like my wife needed me the most, I like wasn't there.
Oh, that's terrible. Dude, I had back surgery. Like our first was like 3 months old and I couldn't pick him up for, it was either 6 or 8 weeks. So just this baby who I wanted to pick up and who wanted me to pick him up. Yeah. Couldn't do it during his formative 3 months of time or whatever, 2 months of time. It's so frustrating.
Yeah.
But I was paralyzed. I mean, that surgery, I literally had to be wheelchaired into the hospital because I couldn't walk.
Oh, wow.
It was so bad. It's like people say they threw their back out. I was like, there's a scale. There are levels to the game.
How badly?
That's so.
I was
so
like a 4 or 5 out of 10. Like, I couldn't, like, I was getting like muscle spasms, like the diaphragm. Oh, yeah. You know, they clearly don't need surgery, but I had to take a steroid. But I think it was that. And you know, at the time I was at a seed stage startup company and I just had a lot of both personal and professional responsibilities. And like the weight of that felt like mentally crushing to me. And so I don't know. I think it was just like that moment where it was like, holy cow, like I am in charge of keeping two kids alive, making sure that they are taken care of, you know, trying to, you know, be there for my wife, taking care of my own physical and mental health, which is still a struggle at times.
Yep.
And I don't know, like our son was just like easy and our daughter is easy too. But it was just something about the entrance of a second kid where it's like, oh, okay. Like the things that I thought I could do like independently, I just can't. Like I have to wake up at 4 a.m. to exercise so that I could not go mentally insane throughout the day.
Isn't that funny? I feel like back in college, exercise was to get gains. Like I want to be this D's like bodybuilder and you go to the gym to like show off the biceps. But now it's like, if I don't work out, like I literally will lose my mind.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't care about gains. Like if I don't run, I notice insanity creeping in after a week of not running. So I'm like, I have to go run. And when I do, after, you know, a few days off my feet, I'm like, I can feel my insanity leave my body.
Yeah.
It's just totally different motivations now.
It is. It's so big on the mental aspect of everything. It's huge. When we were in Costa Rica we were there for 12 days. I was like 14 days without working out. And I could tell like, every day, and I was in a beautiful place. Like that kind of helped release. Sure. So like, I'm out of the gym, whatever. Like every day that went by, I was like slowly getting more stressed, more on edge, more just like frustrated and less patience. And I got back on, like, I don't know, call it a Thursday. And I went to the gym Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Didn't go Sunday, went Monday. And then as soon as this Monday hit and I woke up at 4 a.m. and I went to the gym, I walked out of the gym like, this is it. This is the life right here. Like,
yes.
Peace. Get the, like, again, love the kids, but you do need, in my opinion, I think you need alone time. I think people need alone time.
I got a treadmill 3-4 months ago now. And, you know, I love running outside right now. And even in Charleston, it's going to be like 20 degrees this weekend. I have a half marathon on Saturday, a week from tomorrow. So like 8 days from now, it's going to be 20 degrees when I start. I'm like, that's unfortunate. Could have just decided not to be 20 degrees for this half. But, you know, I have found even the time alone for 30, 45 minutes on a treadmill to just give me a very similar mental effect. Like get the sweat, get alone, like go hard in the paint. I wanted to call back to something you mentioned a moment ago that really resonated with me about your friends. I have a lot of friends that do have kids and then that don't have kids. And I've moved around a lot too. So I have like different friends from different seasons of life. You know, some that you're always going to just be a ride and die. You just call them up, it's been maybe 5 years, just hey,
yeah,
how are you doing? But then others, like, you change life stages and you kind of, they kind of fade away, which is unfortunate, but I think part of just growing up. How have you found those relationships with the people who don't have families yet? How have they changed since now becoming a dad?
Wow, that's a really good question. Like I said, like my core group of like six guy friends, like I've literally, guys, I have so many friends. Like I have like six friends. I've literally.
That's great. And that's honestly, that's more than most people. Six is the perfect amount.
Yeah. I literally, like, half of them I've been friends since like middle school, some since like 2010. And two of the guys that don't have kids were, I live with them in downtown Chicago for like 2.5 years. And now that life gets like super busy, I've made a concerted effort to try to, one of them works downtown. So we actually just got lunch like the other day. And then I'm actually going to an event that he's putting on for some like charity thing that he's doing in middle of February. And so I think just trying to be more intentional with my time, because I have found that if you don't prioritize things, life just moves quickly. And
yes,
I really cherish my friendships. And I want to, like, I'm like scared of like losing things, and I like stability in my life. And so like, I don't always, like, I'm quick to communicate, but I'm not one to like quickly like, hey, are you like, I need to be better at, hey, are you free in like 8 weeks from now? So for us to hang.
Right.
You know, I'm actually free the last week of March. If you're free, can you like put that on your calendar? He's like, yeah,
it's like,
sure.
Free at top of Q2. Q1's a little bit booked now.
Right. No, I think it's just being more intentional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, with it, and just trying to be more proactive with how you communicate with them. And it's just, it's important to me. And like that goes back to, if I go to see, like, it's an important part of my life, and I've made it clear to like my wife, and she like, and she gets out, like, it's just like working out. Like, yeah. I need to work out. Like, I need to see my friends like once a month, and trying to like, if I'm going to go, I live in like the northwest suburbs of Chicago. Like, if I'm going to go see my buddies in the city, it's a schlep.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing, right? So
yeah, I lived in Homewood for 5 years. So it's like,
oh, cool.
A trip to the city is, yeah. It's not like, oh, I would just like hop into the city for a day. It's like, it's a full day thing. You know, you don't just go.
It's like 6 hours. Trip. It's like, yeah. It's like two and a half hours of driving. Plus you're going to chill with your friends for
three. You're going to walk. Yeah. Yeah, it's a whole.
Yeah. Right.
What I love about that is you and your wife have communicated about this. And I think that's so key. For both of you, for you to give her the space to have those relationships that, of course, are just as important, but to communicate like, hey, I love my kids. I love you. I love family time. But there is a native instinctual need I have as a man to go be a doofus with the boys. And I think my wife and I have a very healthy boundary around this, for her friends, me with my friends, and it sounds like you do too. I think what I've seen and what I've observed just generally, a lot of people get married, start families, and then they lose that. And whether it's because the couple, they're not communicating with each other about their need, or they're trying to put on this facade that it's not a need. Well, no, I have my wife now, or my spouse, I have my kids. This is everything I need. There's a spectrum. And it's like, on the one hand, yes, I have everything I could ever want in life. But there's this silliness and ridiculousness that comes from just going out, you know, round of golf, or going, you know, getting drinks with the guys, like going even out for just a meal, getting some wings, watching the game. Like, you're just, there's a part of you that just goes right back to the way it was before. And it was like a release of the ridiculous pent up energy that comes from putting on a face and being a good dad, being a good husband, being a good worker. We want to just be stupid sometimes as men. Oh, yeah. I think most men can relate to this. Like, let me go just be silly. Like, I need that time. I love that. I love that. I think I've had some, I don't know, not encouraging, maybe discouraging conversations with friends over the years that I think have just been because life changes. Like, what do you talk about with friends who don't have families. And like, I have friends that don't have kids. Like, I do.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? Like, hey, how's
work?
Work.
All right.
And then you start complaining about work, and then they ask you, like, hey, how's work?
Like, work family.
Yeah. It's like, well, yeah, my kids. And then it's like, well, you know, you can talk about it. Like, obviously they're not totally clueless, but I just found there's just the natural growing apart of, but obviously it doesn't have to be that way. It sounds like there's a really good balance you've struck, which is struck, I think, admirable.
No idea what the past tense is.
You striketh.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Being intentional.
It's really hard. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, I'm so great at like all of it. Yeah. It's just like,
if you're Aaron's friends listening to this and you don't have kids, shame on. No, I'm kidding. I think one other thought I had, my wife and I have standing meetings with some people, primarily every Tuesday night. We meet with one couple who we're friends with. They have kids our age. We kind of like mentor each other. That's not really how I would frame it, but like every week we get together and it's like, all right, like what's heavy today? Let's talk. Like, how's the marriage? How's the kids? They ask us, we ask them. It's very much like a mutual helping of each other, just to be better husbands and wives and parents and workers. We have that every Tuesday. And then we have something every Tuesday. So every other week we have that. And then the off weeks, we have a meeting with someone else who's actually much older than us. Their kids are our age. And it's very much like, help us be better. And I've found that without those standing times, whether it's weekly or biweekly or monthly or whatever it is, it's just, life just goes by so fast. I was talking to Courtney about a date we have planned middle of next month. Her birthday is the middle of February. And
it's still Q1.
Yeah, Q1. But I'm like, we need to figure out babysitting for this, you know, this date on, you know, 3 weeks from now. And it's like, it's an important date. We have babysitters, but it's like, it's going to be hard because it's also Valentine's weekend. So it's like, oh, it's a whole thing. And like, oh, we'll figure it out. I was like, 3 weeks is going to, like, I'm going to blink my eyes and that day is going to be here. And that's just how it is. We just can't think linearly like we used to. It's like, you got to think months at a time. Anyways, without going on a tangent, I love what you're saying, Aaron. This is this is great.
And Aaron, I want to go back to so your daughter's 8 months, and you mentioned it, which that probably flew by, but you mentioned it, right? Yeah. Number one, not too bad for you. Number two, definitely kind of probably weighing on you more mentally. Is it still?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say so.
And one, I commend you for even talking about it, because I think I'm really bad at that. And I think Daniel's really good at talking about it, at least what I've heard from you, Dan. I don't want to speak for you, but I'm bad at talking about when I'm struggling. Like, I'll just go to the gym, or I'll just keep it all bottled up. And what do you do when you, like, are you talking with your wife about it? Are you also keeping it bottled up? Cause like, I'll just get through it. Like, we'll be fine. What do you do?
Therapy.
Nice. Nice. Love it. We are huge advocates for therapy, but
unpack that and talk about it. We need more of this on the podcast.
I've been in therapy for 6-7 years now. Work with someone, therapist that we do, like, it's called like CBT. I can't remember what it's
very familiar
for.
Cognitive behavioral therapy.
Yeah, cognitive behavioral therapy. Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Well, low-key psychologist or whatever.
Great. Yeah, it's fine. No biggie. It has helped me try to like unpack and like decouple. I think like most people, or at least, and I shouldn't say most people. Well, actually maybe most people, but a lot of people in sales, I tie my self-worth to my quota performance. And
talk about it.
Yeah. It's like how I'm doing at work really impacts me, and how it, like, the energy that I bring. Like, I'm at home today, and you know, prior to COVID, I was in the office 5 days a week. And then I had a 5-year stretch of working at home by myself. And as you can tell, I'm a little bit of a chatty Cathy, and was lonely.
Yeah.
I didn't really recognize like kind of like this slow burn of being alone. And so when I took this job back in October to work at Amazon, it was it's a 5-day a week, like in person in downtown Chicago. So I commute like 2.5-3 hours a day round trip.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of people are like, you're nuts. Why would you do that? And it's like, I think at like this point in my life, like I need it.
Yeah.
And so, I think that going to therapy
you know, maybe for like our parents' generation to talk about it was taboo. I don't think it's taboo. Like, I clearly don't care.
I don't either.
I need it. I want it. I think it ultimately will help me.
I've seen therapists my whole life. Yeah. I don't currently, but like even back when it was taboo, I'm like, I was straight up like best friends with the therapy because it's like, I just had crazy childhood. But I think therapy, my opinion, actually strong held opinion and vocalized opinion is everyone should see a therapist at one point in their life, at least. Because I think everyone has stuff to unpack that they just don't know how to get through without the help of others.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I couldn't explain it or sum it up better than that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Daniel's good at summing things up. You're really good at it, Daniel.
I try.
Was it hard for you to go 6 to 7 years ago, like to get started? Or were you like, no, I need this?
Oh, no, I had a panic attack at work.
Got it.
Yeah, just to describe, I had like a panic attack.
Are you willing to talk to us about that?
Yeah, sure. How old was I? 23? Yeah, I wasn't sick at all. I'm 34. That was a long time ago. It was like a decade ago. Like right after, sometimes I forget how old I am.
Same, every day.
Yeah, I think it must have been like 2015. Yeah, I had really just entered the workforce and just had like a bunch of responsibility. And I at a job where it was just really stressful. And like, I had like a really like bad call with like a client and I had like literally went to the bathroom and like started like hyperventilating, and I had never had a panic attack before. And then like didn't really like know what was going on, came home and like I just like started like sweating and like couldn't like really like catch like get a deep breath. Yeah, it was like kind of at that time where I was like, all right, like I had never really had like anxiety in childhood, in high school, college, and like got to the workforce and it hit me like a ton of bricks.
Dude.
And it was really tough. So
I've had two panic attacks in my life.
Yeah. Me too.
Interrupt you there, Troy. It's first one was shockingly out of nowhere after our first was born. I mean, I couldn't bring myself to for, I don't know, it was 15, 20 minutes. My wife was obviously very concerned and I was like, you know, heart rate through the roof, looked like I was going to pass out, like bad. First panic attack I've ever had. Second one was last year, also came up out of nowhere. And it was during a period of time where I wasn't able to exercise because of an injury and there were some stressful things happening at work and then real life. And, you know, everything kind of comes to a halt. And that's why I'm such a firm believer in trying to get ahead of it proactively. And, you know, there's guardrails you set up for yourself in life to make sure you're kind of checking the boxes of the tenants, as it were. I don't know how else to put it, but like, you know, am I eating healthy? Am I exercising? Am I getting with the people I need to get with? Am I talking to my wife about the things I need to talk with my wife about? Loving my children? Like, there's things that if you dismiss them one day at a time, you're fine and you just pick it back up. But if you go weeks without really investing in these tenants, I think your brain starts to freak out. I mean, at least mine does. Troy, what were you about to say?
No. I had two. Mine were completely, they're just dumb. They're a dumb panic attack. But they're not dumb because it's, in my opinion, it's life-changing. Mine are so dumb. Mine was smoking weed. So stupid. Is that a panic attack? It was in high school and I freaked out both times. It
certainly
tried.
Could be. I can tell you, but I mean, well, certainly could be.
Panic, anxiety attack, paranoid. I don't know. But man, I felt like I was going to call the cops for myself. That's why I've never done drugs, because I was like, you know what? Those two times were so bad. I never want to experience something like that again. But Aaron, there's a message from you. And it was about, like, thank you for being vulnerable. But something you also mentioned in that message was, I also think about death more than I should. If anybody has listened to this podcast, you know that I think about it too often. And I'm scared of it. It's my biggest fear. And we've talked on this podcast about you blink and time just goes by. And that scares me. Like, even just thinking of that, I'm like, damn, like, I'm not doing enough to my life right now. Yeah. Tell me more about that, because I feel like a lot of people think about it, but they don't really say it.
I don't think about my own. I think about my parents. I lost 3 out of my 4 grandparents before I was 6 years old. I never really like got a relationship with my grandparents, to be honest, except for my mom's dad. And I don't know, like, it's, you know, growing up, you think your parents are invincible and then you realize they're just normal people just trying to figure it out. And then, you know, you see your parents get older. You know, my parents are in their late 60s now. A good buddy of mine, his dad passed away, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. And then I was just like, holy shit. I don't know. Like, there's a thing in therapy that I've worked on. There's like an exercise called like leaves on a stream. It's like an exercise where you let thoughts kind of like just pass by.
you know, and don't let it like really consume you, because I'm bad at that. Like I let things really consume really the forefront like of what I'm thinking about, and I let it take up too much like mental space, and actively just like trying to work on that. And like why I was making like a joke earlier about morbid humor. It's like, oh yeah, you guys hear, we all die. When I talk about like the support system that I have, like I like worry about, oh, like the parents are like going to pass away, like, and it like won't be here, and like what the like figure, like get all out. And like, I just like love them so much. Like I can't imagine like a world without them. I don't know. It's just tough. And you know, dad had a, you know, a small health scare. My mom had, you know, a small little thing. And it's like, my parents aren't invincible. And this is like such like a classic thing that happens to many, you know, people, but it's like, you may or may not have a good relationship with your parents, like growing up. And like, I went to college and it's like, oh, mama, can you just like send me more money? Da, da, da. And then, you know, you realize
classic.
After, like we moved, like me and my wife moved to the suburbs, like 15, 20 minutes away from my parents. And that was definitely like intentional, because yeah. I have recognized the importance of seeing my parents
yeah.
and seeing my in-laws more. Like it's really important. To me.
Did you only recognize that because they're getting older, or once you actually had kids and realized everything they went through to get you to where you're at?
I think both. So I'm one of three. I have two younger siblings who are twins. They're 29. And when I look back at what my parents did within, I think like a span of like, I think, yeah, like my mom had me and my two siblings. So I was like five, and my siblings were like two. And then my mom's mom like passed away like after like a long battle with leukemia. And I didn't know that like my mom was like how, when I was five, you know, like, but my mom was like struggling.
Yeah.
And it was really, really, really tough on her. And then I think like having kids just like really brought it all together. And you know, things that have happened to me this year, personally, professionally, and just like, you really don't know what like unconditional like love is until like shit hits the fan. And I'm just really fortunate for people in my corner. That's like kind of the theme of 2025 was to, and really more into this year is like, be fortunate, show appreciation for your loved ones, because in an instant, you know, it could change. And I hate to like say it like that, because you know, like it's such a drastic way, but I like think it's
the truth.
Spot on.
It's the truth.
I think it's spot on.
And there's no hiding it.
Yeah. Like we both, all three of us have unfortunately had to cross that bridge in our lives, you know, where you think you have more time with someone and you just don't, you know, sometimes you just don't. We have to bring the episode in for a landing, but I wanted to ask Aaron, if you could leave one memory or characteristic of yourself for your children, what would it be? What would you want to be remembered for by your kids?
Don't be afraid to love people really hard in whatever way that you think that is, whether that's being loud, rambunctious like myself, whether that's being maybe more quiet. Love your kids hard and love your loved ones as hard and hold them tight. And it's okay to be vulnerable, and it's okay to cry, and showing up every day and being there for them is the biggest blessing of my life. So, yeah.
That's
what a beautiful,
that's beautiful ending.
Yeah. We should just end it right there. Boom. Take this candor out.
Aaron, I really appreciate it. I can see the way that your own journey with vulnerability just shapes who you are now, even in this conversation we've had, albeit short. I think some of the takeaways: be vulnerable with your family, but be vulnerable with your friends. I think that's, if I were to sum up what I know about Aaron from these short, you know, 40 minutes or so, is, you know, don't be afraid to tell people what you really think and feel, and the good and the bad. I think people are more nimble than we give them credit for when you just open up and share the truth of what's really on your heart, what's on your mind. And
yeah,
I appreciate you, Aaron. This has been such a good episode. I think a lot of people are going to resonate with this.
For sure.
Men are just not as good as we can be at being vulnerable. I appreciate vulnerability so much in my life, but I think, you know, I see my wife meet with her girls. Girls just, I think, are better at it. Generally speaking, I'm making this huge, broad paintbrush here, right? There's so many exceptions. But I'm like, you know, they put their feet up on the couch and they're wrapping their arms around their legs and they just have their cup of coffee and they're just like, they love talking about their lives with each other. And I'm like, there are men that can really talk and get there together. But in general, I think dads just don't want to do that. It's exhausting. Yeah. But I think once we start to feel how much value and change and transformation comes from that, whether it be through therapy or just consistent relationship and vulnerability with people, I think we start to realize, oh, this has to be a tenet of my life. But Aaron, we appreciate you, man. Thank you to the people listening for listening. Subscribe, follow, find us on twodadsintech.com. Of course, this will be on YouTube as well. If you're listening, you can go watch it. Aaron, where do they find you?
Oh, man. You can find me online. I'm a weird serial poster on LinkedIn. So nice. I try to post, you know, 4 to 5 times a day. anything about the e-com logistics, you know, third-party logistics stuff, hit me up.
That's great.
Supply chain at aaronhodes.com. That's my my work email. And thank you guys for having me on. Pleasure and honor.
Thank you, Aaron.
Of course, thanks for joining. And everyone listening, we'll see you next week.